Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? It's Sean Ross App. It's Fightful. It's July 6th, 2022. Before we even get into the show, I want to send well wishes to our friend Jeff Hawkins. He undergoes surgery on Thursday. He mentioned this on the Forbidden Door post show. Sending love to Jeff Hawkins. We love you, buddy. We hope you heal up soon. Send your well wishes to him on Twitter at CrapGame13. Hoping for the best, my friend, but we've got AEW Dynamite to talk about, and we've got a whole lot of stuff to plug here at Fightful. I just got back from Vegas. I'm heading to Toronto next week. I got Nashville in a few weeks. We got interviews all over the place. Fightful Select has scoops, and we have a ton of AEW backstage news for you guys right now. And we got Alex Pawlowski here. He's over there on that Fightful Select service.
I am. It's Wednesday, so I'm always doing good because not only is it because it's AW, but Thursday is my night off. And also, my folks are coming to visit. My parents are coming to visit tomorrow. They're flying in. I'm going to spend my evening off.
Where are they from?
I grew up in Oregon, so they still live out there.
Wow.
And so they're flying over. They haven't been in since last summer. So they're coming out. They're seeing the new place. Get a show around the new digs.
They made it this far without dying of dysentery. And that's what happens every time I play Oregon Trail.
That's true.
And they're coming to see you. We'd love to see it.
Yep.
Guys, get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. Today, there was no list in your boy, but we had a very engaging 40-minute show and then a very engaging 15-minute post show on Fightful Select. It is the What Do You Guys Want to Talk About podcast. Where I had no topics. I just said, whatever you guys super chat and humper chat, that's what we'll talk about. We're going to start to do that more. But if you want that every single week, how about this? FightfulSelect.com has a Q&A show every single week. I'm going to tell you guys how to subscribe to that for just $5, an awful lot. But check out that show. And next week, if all goes according to plan, I'll be live in studio with Jimmy Van. Over the past month, we'll have had... For the past couple of months, live studio shows for Grapsody, for myself and Denise, as well as myself and Jimmy Van. I want to thank Cole from Blue Wire Studios for having myself and Denise in studio. It was a lot of fun, but that's all the past. And I don't really give a damn about Denise anymore. We got Alex Pawlowski here. We're talking AEW Dynamite. Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. If you don't know what a humper chat is, go over to humperchats.com. This allows you to leave questions before or after we go on the air. This week, we did our post-Raw review the day after due to the 4th of July. Mm-hmm. And we had a lot of unique super chatters and humper chatters that don't usually get to watch the show. But you can leave a humper chat whenever you want at humperchats.com. It's not like super chats on YouTube that disappear if you leave them too early. So head over to humperchats.com. Also, check out my interview with Theory today that I kept in the can forever. Thought about not even releasing it, but I was like, God damn it, he won Money in the Bank. Let's go ahead and do it. Alex, does it surprise you that he found out about an hour before he was wrestling Brock Lesnar that he was wrestling Brock Lesnar at Madison Square Garden?
No.
There you go.
It does not surprise me in the least. And as a matter of fact, if you ask me, how long before he was wrestling Brock Lesnar do you think he figured out he was wrestling Brock Lesnar? About an hour. About an hour, probably about an
he
hour.
He was like, yeah, I saw the speculation online and we didn't know. And then it's like, oh, you're wrestling Brock Lesnar. Cool.
Yep.
Bako5 says something about this show felt off. I rather enjoyed this show. He also said, I love JR. Maybe it's time he hang up the commentary, maybe go into talent management. Tony Taz and Excalibur work so much better. Well, they've already sort of lightened his load, so to speak, Alex. But
right.
Even then, there are some errors. But talent management, I don't know if that's – I mean, that was his role like 20 years ago.
Right. I mean, this is the thing. I think that you could figure out a way to squeeze in there. Maybe be difficult because, Lord knows, the women don't get enough time on Dynamite as it is.
Sure.
But to squeeze in maybe like every other week, sitting down with JR at one of those pre-recorded interviews backstage, those are always really good. Maybe we get to find something out about a talent we don't really know about. Maybe that's more of his role. If Mark Henry can just do, it's time for the main event every week, and that's his whole job, then JR can just do a backstage interview every other week, and that'll be fine too. Because he did only do an hour of the show tonight, and he was cantankerous, and he forgot he was calling wrestling at one point, and just like was calling Brody King, Brody Lee. Maybe it's just time for him to maybe do only one match every month, maybe.
We got people telling us that the fight feed is still rolling live, and they are running Rampage right now, but avoid spoilers in the chat, please. I would greatly appreciate that, guys, if you could. N. Simmons says this show set up a lot of good storylines. Yes, it did. Yeah. One of those being Wardlow is the AEW TNT champion, and this is the hottest that Wardlow has felt since Double or Nothing.
Yeah.
And listen, that MJF stuff was a great piece of business for Fightful. I'm very glad that that was a news story we had to cover. However, it almost objectively cooled off Wardlow, because 3 days after Wardlow's crowning moment, he was like the ninth most important thing on that show. And it didn't feel like he had recovered until tonight, Alex.
Right.
And tonight, it really felt like he recovered. That looked like, if you go back and you look at the background, sans the signs, it felt like a 1997 WCW crowd with people like throwing their arms up and standing up and cheering. You could see them raising their beers in the background. Like, besides the lack of signs, holy cow, that was white hot for Wardlow. Scorpio Sky didn't do a ton during this match. Mm-hmm. It was him getting beaten up and powerbombed. He had been working hurt. Mm-hmm. Wardlow beat up ATT. If Scorpio is hurt, I thought this was brilliant booking to kind of preserve him. But let's start with Wardlow. I know I covered a lot of ground there. He felt like the guy again.
Oh, absolutely. The thing about it is that this being a street fight, it did not feel like a street fight at any point. It felt like at one point maybe a lumberjack match, kind of. And it was just like an idea of like, well, we want it to be legal for all these guys to get involved, so therefore it's a street fight. When the whole thing started with him walking through the backstage area to get to the ring, I was like, here comes Scorpio, probably with a chair to the back, and they're going to start the street fight backstage, and then they'll mosey on in through the crowd to the ring. There wasn't a chair to the back ever. There was one belt shot to the head, which we'll talk about, I'm sure. But that was completely legal. So it wasn't like, oh, hey, he's cheating. There was a nut shot. It didn't feel really like a street fight. But I did enjoy Wardlow getting that response from the crowd, being an absolute hero, and like getting out there. There's like seven MMA fighters, and he's like squares up. Like he's just the best.
Also, I want to say shout out to Kevin Matthews for first off being there, but being a part of American Top Team across Impact and AEW. I know a lot of people just, quite honestly, they avoided Impact like the plague back then, but I love that. I love that. I think that's a great bit, a bit of continuity. And if Scorpio Sky has been hurt, Deuce says, a weird thank you tweet from Scorpio Sky went up after this match. Hope he's not done with AEW. Have you heard anything, Sean? Well, I can tell you. He is not done with AEW. He signed a 5-year extension last year, so he's going to be there for quite a while. I think he's been working banged up. And again, I don't want to speak for him, but I mean, we had kind of heard that. And this match was constructed very much like he was, Alex.
Mm-hmm. It was constructed to help him through it. There's a lot of bells and whistles, smoke and mirrors. You have Wardlow fighting American Top Team twice, basically. There wasn't a whole lot that Scorp did to push himself physically. If the whole thing was, well, we'll let you go out, you'll do some rehab, you'll work out whatever this injury is, and then you'll come back strong and we'll go from there. The best guy, I think, to put the title on, to get away from that whole Top Team thing, all you from Lambert and the residue of Sammy Guevara, like all of that, just put it on Wardlow, start a new story. There's all kinds of people he can fight. The first guy he should fight for that title, if Scorp is hurt, is Ethan Page. And if you want me to tune in to your show, put Wardlow versus Ethan Page on there. I'm not missing it.
Well, unfortunately, Ethan Page just lost, but a quick battle royal,
easy
tournament, something like that can certainly rectify that. Dream right. Ninja says Wardlow is white hot over tonight, and Jesus Herman Christmas, that Christian promo. Dynamite has been great every week. I can't wait to talk about that Christian promo. But N. Simmons says, to me, they basically used the street fight to work around Sky being injured. Also, that Swanton Bomb, OMG, when his contract is up, give him all the money. He's a special talent. Wardlow really gets it. He's, you know, I don't think that he's quite as charismatic as a Dave Bautista, but the comparisons are there. And once upon a time, people were saying that Bautista wasn't quite charismatic enough. And not only that, Alex, people were saying that he was going to fail in Hollywood. Now, granted, that was around the time Wrong Side of Town came out, and that's understandable. But I think Wardlow's doing all the right things. I think he's killing it.
Yeah, he's effortlessly cool. And I just think all he's got to do is stand there with that little smirk on his face. Like there's the things is that we – the whole storyline of him through the MJF story, like because it kind of cooled off there after Double or Nothing, you forget like how cool a moment it was when MJF took a run, like a running start, hit him with that first strap shot, and he laughed. Like how cool that he's got that kind of cool factor to him. And now as champ, I'm really looking forward to seeing how they book a Wardlow championship run. Because I'm very intrigued how that all comes together. But I really enjoyed his thing. I think he's got a thing now. You know, like when the straps come down, there's a level before that where he does like the strap thing where he like runs his thumbs up and down the straps a few times.
Yeah.
Like that gets the crowd going early in the match. He's got something. He really does.
Oh man. I want to correct something. Manuel says that nobody corrected JR when he said Brody Lee instead of Brody King. They did. They did it in a very casual way. They just said his name out loud. And then JR recognized it. And like if anything's going to get me to go get JR off the headset, it ain't going to be that two guys with the same name. One syllable last names, like Brody Lee is a name that's said quite often in AEW. So it's not going to be like that. I don't think that was malicious or anything like that, but Rerun says, I'm so excited for what Wardlow does with the TNT title. May all the meaty men slap meat over this title. Oh, we're going to get some meat grinding right here.
Yeah.
N. Simmons says, to me, they basically, we read that one, Luis. Luis, thank you for your work, Luis. I appreciate you. But
We did read that one already.
Ryan Lambert says, am I the only one who groans with JR on commentary? Evidently not, Ryan. Damn, it's Smidget. Says, we need sub badges. I know a guy who can do great ones for a decent price. Love to Fightful Forever. I believe we've got those, or we should have those. We should have those. And Eloquent is there at the show, our good friend Eloquent, who was on a retro review with Rob Wilkins and Fightful Select recently. Said, it's been a blast. Great first show to go to. And I heard they got Eddie and Takeshita on Rampage.
Man, you can't drop that thing in our laps just casually. Oh, by the way, on Friday, you're going to watch Eddie Kingston versus Takeshita.
I ain't working. Listen, I ain't working Friday, but I'll be watching Friday. Jeff says, regardless, they need to get JR out of here. I think they should leave him. He should have done the main event. I think he should have done the main event. That would have been cool. Yeah. Wardlow is TNT champion. How are you feeling about that?
I'm very excited to see what the other thing is that every TNT title reign has felt like its own thing. You know what I mean? There was a mishmash of Sammy, then Cody, then back to Sammy, then the whole American Top Team thing, and there was the Sammy turning heel with Tay and all that. It's all kind of jumbled together. But before that, Miro had his own storyline with that title and the way he defended it. Darby as well. Like, I don't care what you throw at me. I'm not losing this title. I'll die in the ring if I have to. That kind of thing. Everybody had their own storyline. And so I'm really interested to see how they decide to tell the story of Wardlow as TNT champion.
We got Mark Sterling trying to file a lawsuit against Swerve. He tried to get Cassidy Lee, he got Ricky Starks to sign it earlier. The thing I love about Ricky Starks is no matter what anybody else is doing, it's ridiculous to him.
Yes.
He's like, what are you up to? Like, it's never normal if anybody else is doing it to Ricky Starks.
Yep.
And I love that. That's like such a unique character trait.
Yes.
Where like everything's funny to him because he hasn't thought to do it.
Yeah.
It's really remarkable stuff, but Mark Sterling doing this is just fun and harmless and heelish and entertaining, and I'm digging it, man. Like, a lot of people were worried, like, what's going to happen with him after the Jade Cargill-Stokely Stokely pairing. He's doing just fine.
He's doing just fine. I really like this little through line through the night, the Keith Lee dismissing them very eruditely, and then the whole thing with
Orange Cassidy. I like how cordial he was regardless.
Yes,
he's like, Mark, how are you doing?
Gentlemen, good to see you on this eve. But he the thing with them with Mark and Nice and Cassidy saying, hold on, I don't sign anything without talking to my lawyer first. And then here comes Danhausen. Yes, it is I, his lawyer. We do not sign anything. That was just brilliant. I loved it. I loved everything about it. Objection, overruled. All of that was amazing.
Very good stuff here. JDB Pringle says, Wardlow is champ, opens up so many storylines. It does. It's fresh. Get it away from the scene that it was in. Christian Cage and Luchasaurus.
Mm-hmm.
So Matt Hardy was invaluable, even if just to be a punching bag here.
Sure.
Because what he did was he got here and he stood there while Christian Cage continued to get over. Mm-hmm. But also, Matt Hardy had some accountability.
Yeah.
He had some humility. And let me tell you, Christian's like, yeah, you should feel like shit, bro. You suck. But Christian said things like, you're starting to make your brother look like the sober one. That got a big ooh from the crowd. Said, you have no problem turning a blind eye to your brother's problems to get one last run out of him.
Yeah.
And you were the thing that your family's most embarrassed about. He said, and Matt Hardy's out there saying, like, I'm not going to let you use Luchasaurus. And he's like, I used Private Party. I used Butcher and Blade. And Christian's like, oh, no, no, no. It goes further than that. You use your kids. You use your wife. You use your father-in-law. You use a damn lawnmower. You right. even use that. A drone. You named a drone.
A dilapidated boat.
All of it. Like, this was really good because it was a guy. Like, I didn't feel like everybody can identify with screwing up, which Matt Hardy very clearly has done. And not only that, his brother is screwed up, but he's taking accountability for it. Even though we know that what Jeff did wasn't his fault. He's still right. taking accountability for it. And Christian's like, LOL, piece of shit. Couldn't be me. Yeah. Not me.
Yeah.
God, this was good, Alex.
It was very good. I'm all right with the idea of using somebody's addiction as fodder for a storyline and to get over the heel. There's a line that I don't think should be crossed, and Christian put his toes on that line. He didn't go over it, but his toes were on that line. It was masterfully done because it wasn't about Jeff. It was about Matt. It was about Matt. That was the thing of it. It was never like your brother is this sloppy drunk and who needs, you know, he needs to hang him up. You should never, you know, whatever. It's not that. It's you decided to ride his coattails and for one last run because you're pathetic without him. Like that to me is a difference maker. I also just love this whole thing. There's the old story of the golem, like this giant statue that it does its master's bidding. And that's basically what we're doing here with Luchasaurus. He is this Frankenstein's monster. I love the way that Christian directs him to do everything. And he just does it. It's a very age old type of trope, but it works really, really well here.
You can get a match or two out of this. Luchasaurus and Matt Hardy. Chris Rain says, Christian not holding anything back. I'm loving the Luchasaurus presentation. He badly needed this freshen up, did Luchasaurus. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure you all can tell if you watched the show, I was over Luchasaurus.
Right.
And now I'm not. Now I'm very excited.
It's weird how, like, it's really, really hard to make a big guy work as a babyface over long periods of time. Because he just does the same, like, crowd-popping stuff. And then especially if he's a guy like Luchasaurus, he doesn't say much, so you're still not going to get over that way. It can kind of get tired. But all of a sudden, you turn it on its head, and now he gets to be brutal, and he gets to, like, throw guys around and chokeslam them through tables. And it feels like, oh, no, that guy's a real monster now. It's a good thing to be able to do that with him.
Brian says, I love Luchasaurus having final boss entrance complete with intimidating theme and obnoxious pyro. Yes.
Yes.
I mean, he is Rezar and Taka now. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a very competent. Well, okay, Rezar and Taka weren't competent, but they were badasses.
They were.
He's like if you combined Krang with Rezar and Taka. We'll say that much. And then you go on to Christian Cage, who is that final boss.
Yeah.
Tom LaValle, actually, that was for Butcher and the Blade. Let me go up here to JB Pringle. He says, using Persona Strife as fodder is dangerous. So far, they've done it masterfully. Evil Dino Man is so, so good. It is a wonderful welcome change. N. Simmons says, can't wait for his take off the mask moment. I don't know if it'll be a baby face or a heel moment, though. And that's what I'm excited for. Man, how do you think he'll change? Do you think he'll be clean shaven, Alex?
He might. You never know, you know?
Well, you know what? I'd suggest he use our new sponsor, Harrys.com/Fightful. They just cut the fight feed, but you know what? You can cut that hair on your face and do it at a much more affordable way. Harrys.com/Fightful. You got to make that daily routine yours. You got to find something you're comfortable with. And that's what Harry's is all about. And first-time Harry's customers can redeem a starter set for just $3 at harrys.com/fightful. that includes a 5-blade cartridge, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover to protect your blades on the go. A $13 value just for $3. And not only that, that's a $13 value for Harry's. If you're going elsewhere for your blades, it's going to be a lot more expensive. You're going to have to basically learn how to pick a lock at the supermarket. You don't want to deal with all that. Harrys.com/Fightful has you covered. I love that weighted handle too. Helps out a ton. You get everything you need for a great shave and nothing but that. Harry's blades hold up better than ever. Guys who've tried it say their 8th shave is just as sharp as their first. And that newly designed weighted handle I talked about looks almost as fresh as you'll feel after using it. And I love this. I love this for our sponsors. They're still using that no-risk trial. If you don't like your shave, no worries. It's on them at harrys.com/Fightful. New look, same incredible offer. There's never been a better time to give Harry's a try. Go to harrys.com/Fightful. Get your starter set for just $3. Have you guys seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt, staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looked more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix it with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike the other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade, has hundreds of 5-star reviews. I love the taste of this. I love the way that I feel after drinking it. I've never felt better. My digestion is smoother, body looks leaner, I have energy all day. I just feel younger. And the flavor is so much better than other green drinks. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Every purchase is packed with a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, boost of energy, and overall a healthier body, go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful today.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That's harrys.com/Fightful. Love him. Josh Weaver says, I just love Christian and Tom Kosoris. Mm-hmm. Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Me too. So when I look at Luchasaurus, I mean, I love Tomko with Christian, but
yeah,
in almost every way, Luchasaurus is an upgrade for me. Mm-hmm. Like he's more imposing, especially yeah. compared to this roster. He's yeah. better in the ring. He's got an established track record.
Yeah.
He's got more upside as well. Like I see him as, yeah.
Well, there's also that whole, like, he and Jungle Boy were best friends. And the idea that Christian turned him evil so quickly. We haven't seen Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy interact yet.
Yeah.
Like that first encounter is going to be amazing. But I feel like we all probably know where this is headed. Where like Jungle Boy is like, I know there is good yet within you, Luchasaurus. I feel the good within you. Be good again. That's going to be a great moment too.
Shot Kid says, can they legally not use the Vibora name? I'd be shocked if they couldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, who's going to sue them?
Dario Cueto.
Yeah, Dario Cueto. Bill says, Luchasaurus unmasks and a peewee voice pops out. Oh, no. Oh, no. Lord Jeff says, the pool noodle rises. Did we just become best friends? SGS for life. SRS isn't bad either. Much love from Southeast Ohio. Miss Kate is still the best, though. She's all right. She's all right.
She's pretty good.
Sorry. Get in those super chats. Get in those humper chats, guys. How about this? I'm going to drop an interview with Bianca Belair on Friday. Early access on FightfulSelect.com on Thursday for Tier 2 members. Early notes will be up as well. But today on Fightful Select, we had a bunch of news, including some news about Colt Cabana, which was pretty pertinent to additional news that we had put out over the last week. Alan Angels, we did his only interview. Mm-hmm. Upon leaving AEW, he confirmed to Fightful that his deal was up on July 1st. They had declined to extend his deal, but offered him a per appearance deal. And he told Fightful that he passed on that and felt like he could increase his spot in AEW, but he feels like he has to leave in order to do that a little bit more. And he immediately headed over to Impact Wrestling. So he gone. Still on the roster page. Also still on the roster page is Colt Cabana, who is still under contract to AEW, I'm told. The full story is on FightfulSelect.com. But I'm told that effectively he's out of the Dark Order, like on AEW TV, and he's an ROH guy. Again, there's a lot of implications with CM Punk and a lot of stuff like that. We saw Stu Grayson hit the bricks as well. That is, and man, we watched Dark Order, Alex, go from this creepy cult to a fun social club, and unfortunately lost Brody Lee along the way.
Right.
I feel like a lot was left on the table with Dark Order, especially with Hangman Page, and a little bit of that got rectified here tonight.
Right.
But to me, some of it was too little too late. You have the Dark Order without those three, but with Negative One out there in Brody's hometown.
Yep.
And Evil Uno says, Dark Order is forever. We're not going anywhere. The six of us.
Yes.
So it's established. It's the six of them.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you can run a whole damn stable on the outside.
Right.
You could have a team of Dark Order on the outside of AEW right now. But it did seem like this was responding a little bit to that.
Sure.
But I think the more you lose from the fun social club, it does. It takes away. I mean, their heart was taken away because Brody Lee, unfortunately, got taken away. And there's nothing you could do about that. But it does eliminate the idea that this is this super, super tight knit group, can't be separated no matter what.
Right. And like business is always going to get in the way of that. And I understand
it.
Like Stu Grayson just wanting to wrestle more. Like, I totally get it. That guy's really, really good at wrestling. And Alan Angels made the right decision for himself. I mean, like, when he signed with AEW, what was he, 23? Like he was so young and hadn't done a whole lot on the indies and hadn't, like, it's going to be really hard to move up incrementally within the ranks of AEW when there's just this huge logjam of people above you on the card, as opposed to go to Impact, go to the indies, start making noise, have some banger, some 25-minute banger with Nick Wayne somewhere, and actually, like, decide, okay, so this is what we're going to do. I'm going to show everybody that I'm the real, real deal, and I'm going to get overtures from everywhere, and the amount of money he's going to make in 2 years coming back to AEW or going to WWE, NXT, whatever, or signing a long-term contract somewhere else, is going to be a lot more than he'd be able to do just kind of like, hey, every 3 months I'll get a match on TV and I'll get to look really, really good in a 9-minute loss, as opposed to going somewhere else and being able to be a main attraction.
Chris Rain says, do you think this is a really great start for the Dark Order, or was that just because of Rochester? I think it's because of Rochester.
Yeah.
Hangman comes out, helps beat up QT Marshall. Great pop, cowboy shit. I never thought I'd say this, but here we go. I'm Abel says, can we see the former Bray Wyatt on AEW with the remaining Dark Order to become the Wyatt Six? I think it can be a really good idea. And I haven't seen a spot for Bray Wyatt in AEW until now. That comes with an awful lot of caveats, Alex. Yes. No bullshit lore. No middle school audio visual presentations. No worms. If anything, he says, I know Brody, and Brody would not have wanted you all to act like this.
Yeah.
Because if there's one guy that carries that leader credibility on the same plane as Mr. Brody Lee, it is Wyatt. That's it. That he's the only one. All due respect to Eric Redbeard. All due respect to Braun Strowman, who, you know, posts some wild shit on the internet, but I loved him as a performer.
Yeah.
They can't master that the way, or haven't mastered that the way that, that Bray Wyatt has. In the ring, well, I mean, there's plenty to be desired, I'm sure. But, and by the way, guys, if you're saying Sean got to check Twitter about now, you need to be a little more descriptive or send it to me, by the way. But I ain't going to scroll through Twitter in the middle of my show.
Just check all of Twitter.
But I think that there's a possibility that happens. And if you have an introductory feud for Bray Wyatt, goddamn, Hangman Page is an awfully great way to do it. And there is a story there with Bray Wyatt saying, I blame him. Yeah. I blame Hangman because this bullshit didn't happen until he came around.
Yeah.
This goofy shit didn't happen until this guy started to hang out with you guys in place of my friend. There you go.
Also, there's a really cool thing of splitting the Dark Order of who sides with Hangman and who sides with Wyndham. I think there's a really cool thing there. And you know immediately who's siding with Wyndham is Alex Reynolds, who's never liked Hangman. Like, that's a whole story in there as well. And trying to figure out, you know, how that shakes out and whether or not one of them can then call all of them, all the rest of the guys, to his side. There's a really cool possible story there. I don't know what their plans are with Hangman for right now, but that's a cool way of just keeping him away from the top titles, but also in a prominent position if you'd want to do that. I thought tonight was a nice little thing for Brody for negative one for Brody Lee Jr. to do. To come out and get to tell QT, I'm going to pin you in about 7-8 years, and then I'm going to pin you then.
So what people were pointing out was Dak saying my report about Colt Cabana originally not being expected to be re-signed by AEW was fabrication. I can tell you that is not true. I don't believe he read the story. I'm actually speaking with him right now. There were talent that straight up said as far back as March that they believed that CM Punk was the reason that Colt Cabana wasn't being re-signed was because of him. And then, and this is in the story too, mind you, that when the Dark Order started to get picked off, so to speak, or not picked off, but started to go away, they sort of changed their stance on that.
Right.
But as far as, I think this is the one spot for a Wyatt. Do I think he's going to do it? I don't know. I don't think so. But I don't think that that's going to be the spot for them. But anything's possible. JW Pringle says, with a lot of their top talent out, AEW still humps. Yep. And John says, with each TNT champion having their own TNT title belt, what do you think Wardlow's TNT title belt will look like? Keep up the great reactions in the ad reads, Alex. What do you think it looks like?
I don't know. Something maybe a little bit more clean, like a black leather, maybe silver, little gold inlays, something simple as opposed to like, you know, make the whole thing purple and gold for Lakers colors or whatever. I don't know. I honestly don't know what Wardlow's into, but I was thinking something a little bit more traditional maybe.
We've got Shauna Walensky says, I love that Danhausen is Orange Cassidy's lawyer. Just brilliant. I pop loudly. It is a great touch.
Sustained.
Yes. Jordan Scott says, if Hangman and the Elite pair back up, I see Bray and Dark Order being a solid feud too.
Yeah.
And I do too. We have seen him capable of having banger matches.
Yeah.
Patrick Johnson says, if you watch BTE, they're teasing Bucks and Hangman reunion. And I mean, with all the injuries going on with Elite and Undisputed Era, I can see how they would just pivot and be like, well, we ain't getting that anytime soon.
Yeah.
Oh, the Matt Menard promo. I know you'll want to talk about that. So go ahead.
Listen, Matt Menard has proven himself in every which way over and over again, both him and Parker, but especially Matt Menard. Like that thing, because it wasn't even a promo. Like it was an event. Like that was just like that was a seismic event that he created with that promo, just as raw and real as it could possibly get. He worked himself into such a lather that he started bleeding again. Like he was so intense with his words that the cuts reopened and started pouring down his face again. All of it was so great. And I love that he's almost got it. You've almost got it, Matt Menard. The whole thing of like, no, it's all Eddie Kingston's fault. No, it's not. He says, I missed the first steps, the first step, my kid's first steps. I missed that because I was here, because we had to deal with Eddie Kingston tonight. No. You missed it because of Jericho. Because Jericho needs you to back him up the same way that he needed Santana and Ortiz, and they never got their shot at the titles because they were always had to back him up in some feud with somebody. Jericho can't stand on his own and always needs a minimum of four guys to back him up at all times. Once you realize that, Matt Menard, you'll get away from this. I think that I don't know they're ever going to go that way, but the seeds were planted within that promo as he talked about how much he loved Jericho and how he'd always be loyal to him. He also realizes that, honestly, the only reason he was there is because he had to handle Jericho's shit for him. Like, all of that was so, so good. They're going to have a little feud, I'm sure. A one-on-one match has got to be in there between him and Kingston. It's going to be amazing. Let them have 10 minutes to cut promos on each other in the ring one night. That'd be great. But that guy is way too good to be playing fourth fiddle to this rendition of Chris Jericho right now. Like, whenever they split up Yas, sure. whenever they split up Yas, like, put that guy on his own island, let him get himself over with his words, and then strap a rocket to him. He's great.
That was just unbelievable. And I saw some people saying, well, that's a babyface promo. And I'm like, wait. He cares about his family? But the thing is, he's so delusional that he doesn't regret being there for Jericho.
Yes.
Overseeing his kid's first steps. Jake says, SRS tweeting while live reviewing. Having a little chat with Dax. He understands. He said, hey, quote tweet my tweet. Correct it. There we go. Yeah. So on the same page there.
Yes.
Finding me some nice people to block, though. That's fun. J-Esk says, it feels like JR doesn't enjoy the AEW product when he's calling matches in comparison to his WWE or New Japan work. It has sometimes felt like that. Like, he feels like, oh, I got to correct. Mm-hmm. Your job is to promote it.
Yeah.
Ian Hunter says, you and Jimmy should open the doors and do a live in-person Listen Your Boy show for those in Toronto. I'll give you another $5 Canadian. Thank you for your 25 cents. USD. DNC Digital says, I'd love to have the opportunity to have a conversation about a job with Fightful. I have video podcast experience. At the moment, we don't have anything. We just filled things. But if you send me an email with all your info, they all do stay on file. And then when we're hiring, all you got to do is ping me, let me know what your name is, and I'll be able to search it very, very easily. Claudio and Jake Hager interview. We get a match between them next week. But also, we get an Eddie Kingston interview. He congratulates Wardlow, and then he starts talking trash. But then we get what we revealed on FightfulSelect.com. It was actually filmed last week because Jericho is in the UK right now with ITR.
On a completely different continent.
Different continent, but I love it. I love that they do this stuff ahead of time.
Oh, yes.
Keep them on the show.
But here's the other thing. Like, that just shows that you know that you've planned ahead several days in advance as opposed to ripping up the script right before you go live. This is great. They actually know what they're going to do. They script it out to a point where Eddie Kingston has to say in the ring live, I'm going to taste your blood. I want to taste your blood so that they can cue the pre-tape, which wasn't even a pre-tape. That was a pre-tape. That was how long they had to tape that thing. That's great. I thought this was all good. I have to shout this out. There's a guy who tweeted me this, who says, at Force of Will Play on Twitter, who has a really good idea. They're not going to do it. I think it's a really good idea, though. Storyline wise, Sammy should be pissed at Jericho for blood and guts, because last year, when MJF was about to toss Jericho off the roof, Sammy surrendered the match to make sure that they didn't throw Jericho off the roof. Last week, Jericho sat there and watched Sammy get tossed off the roof and did nothing about it. So Sammy has a storyline reason to be pissed at Jericho if they ever want to do that at some point. Because here's the thing. They don't even have to do that right now. 6 months from now, Sammy could bring that up in a promo and it could be a reason why they hate each other again.
Love it. I absolutely love it. JW Pringle says, plan ahead? Never heard of it.
Yep.
Damn, bro. We've got Joey Bagadonet saying Chris Jericho is such a great magical wizard that he used magic to hold Ruby's arm up to get hit by the car door. I do hate that. I do hate that. But Ty Conti doing this, I like that. That helps set up their match as well.
Yeah.
Roosh versus Penta. This one didn't quite hit as well for me. This didn't get a lot of time to breathe, or they just didn't let it breathe. Roosh ain't doing jobs, so it's going to be interesting to see how this run goes.
Yeah.
How'd you feel about this one?
I think I felt the same way you did. I was kind of disappointed. There were some interesting spots in there, but it wasn't like what I wanted out of this. I feel like this is just them warming up, because we're going to get Andrade and Roosh versus the Lucha Brothers at All Out, probably. Like, that's going to probably be the blow-off of the whole thing. Is going to be that. So along the way, we'll get several iterations of this feud along the way. We might get an Alex Abrahantes versus Jose the Assistant match on Dark along the way. You never know. They're just crazy enough to try it.
We got Butcher and Blade versus Swerve in Our Glory. Swerve and Our Glory works really well. They tease the dissension. There was the miscommunication there, but they end up winning. Tom LaValle says Butcher and Blade got a huge pop in Rochester. Even a bigger one will come in 2 months. Them and Garcia. We're going to be cheering heels in Buffalo. Butcher and the Blade, almost every time I see them on TV, they're losing. But and it's like eliminated the doubt, like eliminated the intrigue, so to speak.
Right.
But yeah.
It is one of those deals of they're a very top example of how the hell are these guys 30 matches over 500? Like, when have I ever watched them win a match? And the thing is, I haven't, because I don't watch Dark and Dark Elevation all that much. Unless somebody tells me, you have to watch this match, I will go and seek out the match, not the entire episode, because I just don't have that kind of time. So these are the kind of they're the fourth or fifth ranked team in the rankings. They got to be there for wins at some point. But I still do really do enjoy watching them work together. I love the Butcher, man. That guy's great. And I loved how Keith Lee manhandled him and it pissed him off. Like, he went out there and got a chair because he was going to just brain Keith Lee with it, because he just like, screw it, I don't care. You're not going to disrespect me like that. I thought that was great. I also loved the miscommunication that you mentioned, where Keith Lee accidentally pounced Swerve.
Yes. But Swerve right Cell was great.
Was so great. Right after that, Swerve on the top rope accidentally almost falls off, and Keith Lee snakes a big paw out there to grab his hand, pull him back up, fist bump before they do their big strictly business is what I call it, that power bomb double foot stomp thing. I thought that was about a moment where he pulled him up and the fist bump was great. Because you got to keep them together enough to make the next thing we're going to talk about seem believable next week. Because I'm all in on that. That's going to be great.
Excited to see how that goes. Nathan DePaul says, hopefully we get Ruby versus Tay soon.
We will.
Joe Lethal announced for Death Before Dishonor, but also FTR and the Briscoes.
Yeah.
I know at one point Dax did not want this rematch to ever happen.
Wow.
Are you surprised that it is?
That it's happening? Am I surprised that it's happening? No. Did I think it would happen? Also, no. Like, that's kind of a, like, I'm not surprised because, like, why wouldn't you want to run back what is generally known as one of the greatest tag team matches of all time? Why wouldn't you want to run that back if you had the opportunity to sell some damn papes? Like,
yeah.
Come on. Like, that's a great way. Like, they're announcing stuff. They're going to get to whoever the hell Gresham faces is going to be a dream match. There's all kinds of things you can throw in to this kind of pay-per-view to get people to buy it. And this is a top one. I'm very intrigued by that. Not so much Joe and Lethal. I'm not really sure. I'm really worried that's going to be overbooked to hell with the big man getting involved too much. But FTR and the Briscoes, that's enough to drop $50 right there.
Oh, man. This match was a classic. One of the best matches I've ever seen live.
Yeah.
Briscoe has been working Impact. They lost the tag titles recently. We had ran that story on Fightful Select months ago that Warner Media was like, no, we're not doing the Briscoes, and that's understandable. Based on what I've heard since those original issues around the horrible tweet that Jay Briscoe put out, they've been on their best behavior. Have they truly changed? Who the hell knows? I don't know the guys personally, never talked to them. But the fact that they're even working at Ring of Honor is interesting. However, outside of them being mentioned on the show, I don't know if we'll even see them on the channel. But, I mean, I'll say this. Warner Media has not had issue with them featuring some all at least equally unsavory characters on the right. show. So,
yeah.
Chris Rain says, how many tag title matches are they going to have without FTR in it? The loudest crowd reaction was for the tag team not even out there. At this point, Alex, it is concentrated. It is an angle. Mm-hmm. It is part of it that they are avoiding FTR. Yes,
absolutely, they're avoiding FTR. I love the Young Bucks coming out and being like, hey, guys, there's no reason. Like, by the way, though, we got to mention this. Starks losing his mind at the bottom of the ramp so much he had to walk back up the ramp to compose himself was amazing. I love that the back and forth between him and Swerve. Swerve's not even on the mic. He's like, bring your bitch ass in the ring. Let's do it right now. And Stark's just going crazy, ripping off his polo shirt. That was great. And the Young Bucks coming out and like, hey, you guys, you want to fight? Well, how about you fight us also? Because we're not scared of either of you. But they are scared of FTR. And this is a very clever little way of getting all the competition out of the way so there's literally nobody else for Tony Khan to book them against at All Out other than FTR. It's perfect.
Yep. Give no option but to do that match, a major match for the titles. What else we got? Kylie saying, I'm halfway through Dynamite and haven't got to the Fightful review yet, but this show feel off, or is it just me? Did you feel like this show was off? I definitely did at some points, but I enjoyed the show.
I will tell you that up until the main event, the stuff that I loved the most about this episode did not involve wrestling. It involved talking, and that's a really rare thing for AEW. Like, two pre-taped promos. Oh, I guess three if you want to count Moxley's, which I actually really liked at the beginning of the night. And then the Christian stuff in the ring. And even Eddie and even Jade Cargill and Malcolm Bivens. I mean, and Stokely Hathaway, like all that stuff. I actually really, really enjoyed more than the ring work throughout most of the night until we got to the main event. But like some of the pre-tapes, the Miro one and the Malakai Black one, like had me like goosebumping all over the place. Like I'm so, so excited.
Tony says Briscoes could win the Impact titles before the ROH pay-per-view. Oh my God. Do it. Yeah. I mean, listen, Good Brothers deals are up next weekend.
Right.
I'm just saying the Good Brothers deals are up. And by God, you know what? They'll be in the same state as me. I got to shove a microphone in their face that weekend. But let's do it. Let's do it. Put the Impact titles on the Briscoes and let's just all of them. Can they win the Wrestling Society X tag titles?
Yeah,
too?
All of them.
Get the Lucha Underground Trios titles. Find another Briscoe. I'm ready for it. Jake Salazar says, I'm sick of that tweet or this. That tweet was dang 10 years ago. It's BS acting like people. Oh, okay. Talking about the Briscoes.
Yeah.
I do believe people can change. Absolutely. I said and acted some ignorant ass ways when I was young. And I looked back and I was like, man, but saying that could hurt somebody's feelings. And it's not something that you're cognizant of when you're younger. He was a grown ass man, but yes. I don't think grown ass men are above growing either.
Right.
Dream Ninja says Bucks FTR has to main event whatever pay-per-view it's on. I don't know how you can throw it out there and not main event with it now, Alex.
Yeah, at this point, like, however, Punk is back. Punk is main eventing All Out. I'm very sorry about everybody else to whatever else you're doing. Punk is main eventing All Out. If it's in Chicago, he's main eventing All Out. I agree. Whatever show that Young Bucks versus FTR is on, that has to main event the show, except if the show is in Chicago and CM Punk is wrestling on it for the top championship in AEW. That is the only exception to that rule, unfortunately.
Gun Club and Acclaimed defeat Fuego and Ruffin It. And I love that their six-man name is utilized on here. But the Ass Boys cut off the Acclaimed's intro, which is super heat, turned them babyface here. If they weren't babyface before. And then after they get the win, quick win, Billy Gunn sides with his real sons.
Yeah.
And Rerun says, Daddy Ass Scissors no more. I thought this was really good booking. They cut off the intro, heel heat. They get the win, heat. Billy Gunn says, piss off Max Caster, my adopted son. Then he rips the heart out with Scissor Me Daddy Ass. Yes. And here we go. We're off to the races. And this is the first real feud for the Ass Boys.
And the Acclaimed get to be cheered now. Like full-heartedly. Everyone's like, no, okay, no. Up against the Ass Boys, when Daddy Ass, who we believed was making the right choice in choosing his adopted sons and not those two fuck-ups that he actually sired in real life. Like, I loved him choosing Bowens and Caster was wonderful. He knows what the right choice is. And then, of course, though, blood is thicker than water, and he has to betray him. Et tu, Daddy Ass. It was great. It was so good. We get to cheer the Acclaimed fighting the Ass Boys. Who doesn't love that? And here's the thing, though. There's going to be a six-man tag. And there's only one possible person that can come out and help the Acclaimed versus the Ass Boys and Daddy Ass. And that is Danhausen, who invented the Ass Boys. It's going to be great.
My God.
And Danhausen's going to have a verse in the Max Caster rap on that night.
Yeah. I'm actually excited for this feud. I hope it's not relegated to something else because this has existed largely on Dynamite and Rampage.
Yeah.
Butler Lasagna said had to pour one out tonight for RIP Scissor Me Daddy Ass. You'll be missed.
Yes.
Urs says, why do you have to do Bear Bronson like that? I mean, he's getting in great shape.
Yeah.
And RIP Scissor Me Daddy Ass. wasted the funniest thing. I mean, how much more could you do it? They did it to about the level they could.
Yeah.
And Simmons says, what makes this great is Billy Gunn looked like he didn't want to, but those are his actual sons, and he has to take their side.
Yep.
Ultimately, blood is thicker than water. I mean, they got to bring in Bart at some point.
Yeah, they got to get
Uncle I would love Bart it. In there. Get Uncle Bart in
Uncle
there.
Uncle Bart.
Throw that hook. That's what I want to see.
Yes.
I think that this is a great way. I think they built this excellently of late. Miro wants Malachi Black. ShotKid29 says, happy to see Alex hasn't died from happiness after the teases of BCC versus House of Black and Miro versus House of Black. How'd you feel, Alex?
Okay, so the first one. I think Moxley's the best natural promo in the business. Like, it just feels like he's just coming. He's just riffing. It's just riffing. I love that one. And the response to that, the pre-tapes for the House of Black are so my jam. My jam has never been jammed so hard. Him standing there on one side of the screen, barely lit, and you know at the end of this thing, Brody King is going to step out of the shadows, and you're waiting for it, and you're waiting for it, and it doesn't disappoint. I envy you, John, because you love violence so much, and you're going to have so much violence done to you tonight. I envy you, John. It's just, I love it. Then we get Miro talking about, like, I, who have rattled the gates of heaven, will destroy the gates of hell. Like, you pray and you take control of those who are flawed, and you've picked a fight with a man who is flawless. Ah, my God. Miro versus the House of Black can last until this time next year, and I swear to God, I'll never get tired of it. I'll never get tired of it. It's going to be my thing forever.
Oh, I do love it. I do love it. Ten Ruza says, fight just cut the stream. We got up to halfway through Eddie Takeshita. Thought we were getting the whole show. Would be cool for AEW Plus members. And Eloquent says, Eddie and Takeshita having a banger. Well, listen, maybe you live in the States, but you want AEW Plus and you want to take a trip to Lithuania. NordVPN.com/Fightful allows you to do that because you can change your virtual location with just one click. And now they got three great plans for you. They got the basic with just the VPN. One tier up allows you to get a pass. And then one tier up beyond that allows you to get a locker. Works on all your devices. Phone, laptop, desktop, PC, router, TV, all that good stuff. And works everywhere. Change your virtual location, get a great deal, an additional month free, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get a lot of services that you can't get here in America or wherever you are, and take that trip to, I don't know, Indonesia, Lithuania, and access all the content that you desire. They got that online threat protection, too. I'm traveling a lot. I'm on unsecured Wi-Fi at the hotel, at the airport. I don't want to get my info stolen. Block online trackers, block annoying pop-up ads, and malware with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Using this on my router specifically has proven to be one of the most versatile things that I could do. I use this every single day. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Check it out, my friends. A little bit of an update. Dax posted, I hadn't read the article. Just want to know, or just want everyone to know that no one is getting anyone fired. LFG. There we go.
There you go.
There we go. Gave me a lot of good people to block, though.
Yeah.
There you go. Jade Cargill interview. Layla Gray is an interim baddie. Stokely is so good at this stuff. He's like, $1,100. That's what it cost me.
Everyone wants to know what I whispered in her ear last week. I'll tell you, $1,100.
And listen,
it's not $1,000.
If it were $1,000, it wouldn't have been funny at all. It's the fact that he said $1,100. I've got a spending limit on my card. It's $1,100. That's what we got.
I love that he can.
Thanks for the daily stipend, Tony.
Do you know how hard it is to get somebody who was just trying to kick your ass to save your ass?
That is what I do because I'm not a math whiz, but I know that 3-on-2 is better than 2-on-2. Like, he's so good at this. He's worth every penny of whatever they're paying him doubled. Like, I absolutely love all of this. I love the moment where everybody else leaves. Like, hey, if she screws up, it's on your ass, Stokely. And then he tries to, like, get her to fist bump him, and she doesn't do it. She's like, okay, I'll catch you later. And he walks away, straightening his tie. God, he's so great.
It's so good. And Jade's like, listen, all right, I'll let it slide. But she messes it up. It's on you. I like that. I like that. I dig it. Good stuff. Main Deber, I was trying to figure out how to pronounce that, says, feels like they're actively avoiding baddies, Sunny. I mean, maybe. I think Sunny should make it on a TV, though.
Yeah.
Bailey Fuller says, I can see Hook joining Acclaimed versus Ass Boys. I can't.
No.
Caden says, quick plug for my first ever time hosting an Overbooked show today. Myself and Rob Wilkins did Mid-Year Wrestling Awards. Check that out. Fightful Overbooked. If you guys want just a plethora of additional content, Fightful Overbooked has it. It is, I don't want to say our catch-all, but we have so much great content over there. And as always, FightfulSelect.com. I had a big story on the WES show cancellation. If you say, what's that? It was the show that AOP was set to return on. Nia Jax, Lana, a lot of people were set to be there. A ton of news on that. Backstage notes on Dynamite, the Colt Cabana story. Scott Edwards is posting Joshi scoops over there. We've got internal updates that touted the Money in the Bank success. We had a very interesting note on OVW and Netflix that I'll kind of tell you all about now. Because I know a lot of people looked at that and said, what could be interesting about OVW? Netflix retains the right of first refusal on OVW's TV rights. Why would they possibly want that, Alex?
Why would they do that?
Why would they possibly want that? Well, maybe they want to test out wrestling content on Netflix, which, by the way, is entertaining the idea of doing a live service, doing an active, like, live to streaming service. Do I think it's a coincidence they're doing this just in time for, like, I don't know, 2023, 2024, when some of these rights are going to come up? No, I do not.
I don't know.
Scoops like that over at FightfulSelect.com. Check it out. Thunderstorm. God damn it, I love the name. It's so easy.
It was one of those things. Somebody backstage was like, hey, like, Tony Storm, Thunder Rosa, Thunderstorm. And then someone was like, well, now we got to put them together. Like, we can't not. Like, you have to do it now that you got the name.
Yep. I love it. I love it. What'd you think of this match? I mean, you know, there was a lot made of Marina and Thunder Rosa. They ain't taking it easy on each other as a result.
No.
Chris Reigns loves Nyla with the umbrella. I like that too.
The umbrella, the umbrella was really good.
Marina using the umbrellas?
Yes.
Great. Who, I mean,
like, it's
the one guy that was doing it ain't wrestling anytime soon.
That's right.
So it's hers now.
Yep. I loved. Well, I mean, like, what do you need to protect yourself from a thunderstorm? Umbrellas. It's perfect. I thought it was great. I love also how animated Nyla is and Marina Shafir just holding the umbrella stock still, like walking slowly down the ramp, no expression at all. They're a perfect odd couple tag team. Like I love them together. I don't know what it is about them, but they seem to complement each other so well. Elsewhere, they're doing this thing with Mercedes Martinez and Serena Deeb, who seem to be working really well together as well, for whatever I've seen of it. This feels like there are enough now that if you wanted to create a real women's tag division, you have like Athena and Chris Statlander have been seen together doing a lot of stuff. There's the baddies. You could do a lot of stuff there where you could have enough of these factions that you could decide to put together a few things and see what happens coming out of it.
Jester Design says, I've been thinking Thunder Rosa has Mission Pro Wrestling to call on in case of faction warfare. Thunder and the Renegade Twins versus Jade and the Baddies is a match I won at least once. The Renegade Twins have been featured enough to where they can do that as well, but they've been doing an awful lot of women's tag stuff of late, Alex.
Yeah.
Yeah,
an awful lot.
As I said, I'm looking forward to seeing what might come out of. I don't know if belts are a thing they might do, but they seem to have basically a tag division. You could run a women's tag tournament where the prize is a trophy and not a belt if you wanted to, because they certainly have enough already at this point established factions and tag teams that you could do that.
Main event, John Moxley versus Brody King. Guys, get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. We would greatly appreciate it if you did. Also, leave a thumbs up on this video. It'd mean an awful lot. John Moxley wins. This one went... Did this go a little bit over?
Yes, it did. It went like a few seconds over so that like I'm watching on my DVR so I can fast forward the commercials that I miss when I have to, like, you know, go and do other stuff and come back and I've had to pause it. So I fast forward. But my DVR said I was live. I was not live. I was a few seconds behind. So right in the middle of the end of the match, boop, gone. And so I couldn't find it anywhere else. So I had to, like, find it on Twitter. Yeah, it went over. I love this. I love this because Brody King... I called him on the post-Rampage show last week. I called him a sadistic tattooed refrigerator. Like, that man is gigantic. He is angry. He will hurt you because he likes to. I love what he does. I love what putting Moxley up against that guy in his first interim title defense shows about Mox is that Mox is a big dude. You don't think about how big Mox is. He's like 6'3", and he is dwarfed. Like, yeah. They were throwing forearms back and forth, and like Brody King like laid one in, and I was like, I think he just concussed John Moxley because that thing got hit him real hard. Gosh, I really, really love this match.
This was good stuff. I mean, this was a great way to just like set up a match last week, have a match last week that matters. Add a little bit of stakes to it. Brent Lockman says, harder than a coffin nail. Regal is just invaluable. He was great here.
Yeah.
But Joey Bagadone says, Brody King looking strong even in a loss. He can go far in AEW. Yeah, I think so too. I don't know if he's probably not going to be world champion, at least
no. Based
on how we're seeing it now. But man, he was a great hire.
He's a great hire. They're obviously doing a Miro, not versus Malakai, but versus the entire House of Black thing. So Miro versus Brody King is a thing we're getting. And Jesus, the amount of meaty men slapping meat in that match, Jesus, I can't wait for it. But he's got, I think there's a chance he holds tag gold at some point, depending on how often they change those things back and forth. But he's really great. He's invaluable. And one thing I do love is I love that Moxley has the bulldog choke as a potential finisher when he's got guys that we're not going to pin this guy. He's not going to tap out. He is going to lose, though. It's a perfect thing because Ethan Page got choked out in it. He didn't have to tap out. He didn't have to get pinned. It really made him look great in that match. And the same thing with Brody King here. I think that's a wonderful thing for Moxley to be able to break out in the perfect situation to keep that guy he's facing looking strong.
Johnny Hirschman said Darby and Sting came out post-match to face off with Brody. And Johnny Hirschman says might be seeing Sting, Darby, Miro against House of Black, Big W. Man, that'd be interesting. I don't know how Miro would fit in with them.
I love the idea of Miro saying, I do not need you or your goth papa. I will take them by myself. But then booking the match anyway, and him refusing to tag out because he's just such a lone wolf. It's so great.
Tom LaValle says, just finished Mox's audiobook. Great read. This match was great. Give me BCC versus everybody. Yas, Miro, House of Black. Whoever you got. I haven't listened to the audiobook. I read the majority of it, and oh my God, it's so good. And what I admired about it and what he had told me that he wanted to do was he wanted to do stories that he hadn't brought up in interviews before. So it wasn't like an all-encompassing, this is my life. He wanted to provide context that hadn't been heard before. And I think that's the perfect hook for a book, especially absolutely. In this medium where you're doing a lot of media interviews and you're telling a lot of stories, Alex.
Yeah. I'm very excited. I'm going to get the audiobook too. I've been waiting for it. I didn't want to read it. I wanted to hear him tell it because he's such a great storyteller. And I wanted to hear it from the man in his words about what he went through. I've heard some clips from the audiobook. I can't wait to like be able to have like a long drive or something where I'm going to be able to just sit and listen. He's very, very good at telling that story, and I'm excited to hear it.
Valab says, just a reminder, Thunder Rosa is going to Japan to wrestle Yamashita this week, and this weekend at TJPW's Summer Sun Princess. You can get on Wrestle Universe free for 2 weeks. Yeah, we've got Scott doing some coverage on that as well. Bailey says, House of Black. God damn it, guys. You guys are going to have to start typing in BCC. Let me tell you. The House of Black versus the BBC sounds like something way different than very what different. You're intending.
It's a very different thing.
Way different than what you're thinking.
Yeah.
So sign me the F.
Yeah.
I can see them doing this at All Out after the Miro feud. Claudio versus Brody. Yuta versus Buddy. Mox versus Black. I hope TK books it. Oh, no. I think those are all good sounding matches. Michael Keith says, hey, Sean, sorry I'm late. Could you please use your scoop to look into why Daddy Ass broke my heart? Thanks in advance. I didn't think I would be as interested in this story as I am, and I'm very interested in it.
Yeah.
Irene says, any MJF news, it's noticeable and a potentially great storyline now. Pinnacle are doing great without him. Yes, they are. They're doing better without him.
Uh-huh.
And they mentioned his name on TV for the first time in a while. Nick Jackson said, we're better than you and you know it.
Yep.
I'll tell you this. I have not heard from MJF since the week of the promo, a little bit after I did hear from him. People in AEW have not heard from him. By that, I mean the roster. I haven't heard anybody that's talked to him since then. In fact, there was a person who was pretty close to him a couple days later that said, okay, I need to know what you know because what I known has been wrong. Yeah. I talked to one wrestler at another company that saw him at Disney, of all places, but didn't get to talk to him. They were on the phone. That's about the extent of it right now. I'll see what else I can find out. Yeah. Nathan DePaul says, any emphasis or an emphasis on women's tag team wrestling, you say, it is pretty noticeable. And I mean, I know a lot of people are like, Sasha and Naomi? I don't think so. I think if you got Sasha, you bring her in as.
Yeah.
Like, that's who you put with Rosa, Britt, Jade. Oh. Your fourth. There's your four horsewomen.
Yeah.
And JW Pringle says, British Broadcasting Company, right, SRS? And right. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Michael says, BBC all in. Gives a whole new meaning to Double or Nothing.
Sure does.
Alex, tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me on the Twitter at Alex Sour Graps. You can find me on this here channel every Tuesday talking about NXT 2.0 with the wonderful Miss Kate Fabe, Kate Elizabeth. Also over on the Jimmy Van Sister Network, Know Your News every Thursday. So that's tomorrow. We release a new episode of Get the Flick Out of Here, where we talk about weird and bad and crazy movies, including this one. This time it's our super patriotic spectacular special talking about Team America World Police, which is a fantastic movie that I feel like a lot of young people don't even know exists. And you got to go out and find it. It's so, so, so funny.
It is incredible. It is incredible. Ryan Lambert says, as a bisexual man, I am a fan of both BCC and BBC. And Bailey Fuller says, Tony Schiavone said MJF walked out on AEW Unrestricted. Tony Schiavone can do things like blurt things out that maybe he's not supposed to or work. So there you go. Guys, we've got the Impact post show this week. We've got the post SmackDown show as well. Bianca Belair interview coming this Friday. Early access on FightfulSelect.com. Please leave us a thumbs up. Until next time, guys, check out our sponsors at harrys.com/Fightful and nordvpn.com/Fightful. We're out.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.